This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards. Americans take pride in the size of their trees. There's even a big tree register, which dates from 1941. The register lists U.S. champions, the biggest trees of their kind. Florida has the most, Massachusetts has none, and in the wilds of the Pacific Northwest, it's believed there are still unsung record-breaking trees. Part of a series on big trees and the lives they've changed, NPR's Ketzel Levine bushwhacks into a little-known forest in search of a new champion.
We've got these roadside attractions in the Pacific Northwest. Maybe you've got them, too. They're the stuff of fast-break family outings, the world's biggest fill-in-the-blank tree. Here, there's Sitka spruce, western red cedar, Douglas fir. Around you, they may be oaks or pines. What they all have in common is that somebody measured them. And if you're in the state of Washington, it's a good bet it was Bob Van Pelt.
Yeah, it'll take a few minutes while I get my gear together.
Bob Van Pelt is a big tree hunter, one of the best in the business, we're told. So we followed him to the shores of Quinault Lake on Washington's Olympic Peninsula, where it's luscious and verdant and wet.
Is the weather always this bad when you go out? I mean, I know it's a rainforest, but this is pretty hideous.
Actually, this is my favorite weather, so...
What do you like about it?
Well, this weather is the only reason that these trees exist. If you don't have this weather, you don't have these trees.
As he suits up out the back of his car, Bob Van Pelt looks like a red-bearded, jolly green giant. He's wearing emerald overalls and bright orange boots. In his free time, the Seattle ecologist and author has traveled the world measuring big trees. The man is obsessed and intrepid. This morning, though, we start out easy by following the brown and white park sign to the Quinault Big Cedar. It's the largest western red cedar in the world.
It is enormous and has so much personality.
It's a cedar. Cedars scoff at just about everything. They don't rot, so all the history of growth and death in this tree is still there for us to see.
It looks like a humongous dill pickle. Its 2,000-year-old trunk is all ripples and warts. Bob Van Pelt calls it a wow tree, wall of wood. This wall is 18 feet across. It was a fallen champion of sorts until Bob Van Pelt came along, dethroned in the 1950s by a bigger guy a few miles away. But armed with survey lasers and a head for geometry, Bob Van Pelt remeasured it and had it reinstated as the world champ red cedar in 1993.
This isn't the best view, though. You gotta check it out.
The point system for determining a tree's size includes three measurements: height, circumference, and crown spread. Bob Van Pelt adds wood volume to that formula, the overall thickness of the tree's trunk from bottom to top. It's a standard of measurement that sets him apart from most of the world's big tree hunters, few of whom have seen what we're out to bag today, a record-breaking Douglas fir.
Well, right here where the road is curving, this is where we leave the trail and start hiking up slope.
The terrain is rugged, but the man is intent on a tree he spotted a couple of years back.
And what's your memory of this tree?
It's huge. The first time I spotted it was the day we found Rex, which is this fourth largest known Douglas fir. So we spent our time that day measuring that one instead of this one.
One of the great joys of this forest, just hours outside Seattle, is that it's only recently begun to be explored. Since the late 1990s, tree hunters have found 5 of the 10 world's largest Douglas firs here. With any luck, we're about to find the largest. Bob Van Pelt sweeps aside waist-high ferns, ducks branches, and jumps streams. Our way is continuously blocked by fallen logs and devilish spine-covered shrubs.
Trying to do something not on a trail is just ridiculous. You read Lewis and Clark's journals about their adventures on the coast here, and it's just... It was a nightmare for them. They hated it.
November 12, 1805. It would be distressing to a feeling person to see our situation at this time, all wet and cold. November 13th, not a word about wow trees in William Clark's journal. Instead, he writes, the weather being so cloudy and thick that I could not see any distance down.
Where are you, Bob?
We're You're soaked now, and sore, and possibly lost.
I just hate dragging you in circles when I can't find it. It's like, maybe I should just go see if that's it and then holler or something.
Some say he's taken the fun out of tree hunting. With his lasers and formulas, trees often shrink when Bob Van Pelt gets involved. Case in point, the giant sequoias of the Calaveras Grove in California. The grove was thought to have a number of trees over 300 feet high. They don't think that anymore. After taking extensive measurements, Bob Van Pelt found none of that size.
Over here!
2 hours and counting, and this could be it.
There's a huge snapped tree right up here. And it might be the tree.
That might be it, the one that's all busted up?
Yeah.
That's the one. Up ahead is a train wreck of a tree. Shards of wood like twisted metal hang off a 35-foot-high stump. And heading downhill, the length of a football field, the mighty fallen log. As it crashed through the forest, this fir wreaked havoc. With very little imagination, you can almost hear its final roar.
No question about it. That's it. Twice as big as any other tree we've been seeing in here.
No.
It's close to 13 feet in diameter.
And it's in pieces.
Yep. I mean, just looking at it from here, you can see. That's a really big freaking tree. Darn it.
He takes some cursory measurements.
Okay, pull it. Pull it tight.
The tree was 42 feet, 9 inches around.
That's what we call huge.
It was killed by the slow-growing velvet top fungus. Bob Van Pelt says he's seen it before. It's a natural death. The tragedy is there are so few really big trees left.
We've logged almost all of our great forests, and this is one of the last remaining ones. And the fact that it has 5 of the 10 largest Douglas firs is not because this area is the best. It's just because it's the only area we have left, really. I mean, we still have some exploring to do in this hillside up here, but basically there are no new frontiers for finding these kind of trees.
A big tree hunter couldn't get up in the morning if it weren't for the promise of another find. Besides, it's not as if the forest was static. Trees are breaking, dying, and growing all the time. Even this luscious landscape has undergone dramatic change. 550 years ago, this forest burned. The trees that survived are today's giants. They have produced millions of seeds. And though it doesn't look like much right now, one of those seedlings has all the makings of a future champion tree. Ketzel Levine, NPR News.
Pictures of Ketzel's trek in the Olympic Peninsula and of champion trees are at npr.org. Next week, she visits a retirement village in southern Georgia, where the most revered member of the community is an oak tree.
The tree didn't say anything to me then.
Does the tree talk to you now?
Yes.
What does the tree say to you now?
It says the beauty of age, the worth of age.